Please help me welcome our speaker tonight, who is Rob N. from Philadelphia.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rob Knopf, the alcoholic. Good thing it's in an outdoor area. My ego is huge. I don't know about anybody else, right? That's my dilemma anymore. Those are the difficulties I ask to be removed. It sure isn't about a drink or a drug anymore. A little bit about myself, what it was like, what happened, what it's like now, blah, blah, blah. You always hear all that and get right into my childhood. And once I start hearing that stuff, my mind just starts to wander, man. I want to hear about a solution. I want to hear about what you did to get better. So it is an hour. Give me a few minutes to get to it. Tell you a little bit about myself. I use my full name for various reasons. Like I said, it's Rob Knopf. Dr. Bob said it best. You don't want to be that anonymous with another alcoholic in AA. I don't need a tradition to tell me. I don't need to see I've seen this dude or that dude at a meeting, and I don't see myself in front of press or radio anytime soon. Plus, I'm sure there's other dudes named Rob here. But most importantly, because you might want to friend request me on Facebook. I say profound things, you know. N-O-L-F-I, if you want to check it out. So, and that's my dilemma. Ego comes in, ego goes out. Got a sobriety date. I've had so many of them. I mean, I've been coming around since 1987. They told me just don't drink, make a meeting. So I did. I just didn't drink. I'd make 3 meetings a day and do burglaries at night. And they called me a winner. They said, kid, you're doing good. You know, teenager, 19 years old, 20. 30, 40, next thing you know, that's all they kept telling me. Kid, you're doing good. Just don't drink, make a meeting. And that's not the truth. That's not my truth today. I needed to have that thought of a drink removed, like the 10-step promises. David and a couple guys were talking earlier before the meeting started. C-A-N-A. As long as it's not K-N-A, I guess you'll be all right. You know, Ken's in Allegheny. You familiar with that spot? Yeah, you know, someone said about D-A, D-E-A. I don't even know what I was hearing. After a while, my mind started to wander. And that's if you want to talk about your problem, you know. And that's what shrinks are for and stuff like that, I think. Sooner or later, you got to start talking about a solution. You know, they told me, they finally said to me at like 41 years old, Rob, when's your beginning going to end? I've been coming around AA since 1987. You know, like I said, meetings all day. I've had thousands of one days at a time. You know, if you want to stop drinking, punch a cop in the mouth. You know what I mean? That's what they told me. You'll stop drinking, you know. I've done that. I've done thousands of days in a cell, and I come out scared to death, and I don't know why I go right to a drink. I don't know what it is about me that it just calls me. I've had multiple years in a cell. I've had 19 straight months of intensive rehab, 9 months straight of group intensive therapy, 10 more months stay there in a rehab. I can't get 20 months on the streets. Why is that? Why does something call me to tell me to just go get one? And it wasn't, things weren't going horribly wrong, and things weren't going fantastically well. It just... something inside of me tells me to just go do one. I truly believe I can just do one. It's not like a lie where I hear people say, don't believe the lie. I honestly believe I can just do one. So I tried the experiment, 87, 97, 2007. It wasn't until March 22nd, 2010 that I cried out to God for help. And that's where the difference finally happened for me. Standing on the corner of Aramingo in Somerset, didn't want to go to Kensington in Somerset. I called 3 people. None of them answered. I called the 4th dude. He answered. He said, come on over to the sober house. Try not to pick up before you get here. And I did. March 22nd, 2010. Instead of walking to Kensington, Somerset, I took the long way around Aramingo, got to Ontario Street where the sober house is at. And right there, first day, a couple hours sober, he talked about steps 1, 2, and 3. He opened up the big book with me. We didn't go to a meeting or nothing like that. And I was fortunate. I had one of them sponsors with a lot of time, you know. Everybody's impressed by time, right? He had no job and no prospects of getting a job. That's what I mean by time, you know. Plenty of time on his hands. Within 3 weeks, I was done talking to him, and I was talking to new guys. I ain't called that dude in over 3 years. I got off the sponsor reliant and became God reliant. I ain't called that dude in over 3 years. I think he still charges $50 relapse fees in a sober house. You know what I mean? I couldn't even tell you where he's at. I think he sells to boxing. All I know is God placed him in my life at the perfect time when I needed him, and he helped me grow. Got my hand in God's hand. All he ever said to me was, God's got me, God's got me, and he believed it. So like I said, we're at the sober house there. So a little bit about myself. South Philly, born and raised like every other kid down there. Wannabe, you know? Got an older sister who died direct result of drinking and drugging. Matter of fact, I'm the kind of guy when she choked on a throw up and died. They were putting it in her ground. It was taking too long for me, so I got to go sit in the car and get well. You know what I mean? And let my family find me in the car while she's being put in the ground. Then my mom died 6 months later. My dad says, here's $70. Go get your mom's ashes, man. no thanks. I'm that kind of guy. I don't know about anyone else. Matter of fact, I'll take her pain pills while she's dying, you know? How can a person like that recover, man? How can a person like that get better? I couldn't. I needed divine help. I needed something supernatural. I didn't need meetings and stuff like that. I needed something supernatural to happen in my life, and it did that day, March 22nd, 2010. Like I said, I've had a bunch of sober dates. Never had a came to believe date until now. It ties in with the ninth step. I suddenly realized you're doing for me what I can't do for myself. All I had to do is follow a few simple rules, like the book says. So like I said, I meet this dude, Tony. We go over steps 1, 2, and 3 in the sober house. And I remember, I was one of those dudes, mind you now, I do not look like the man I was. I was 50 pounds lighter. I was the dude pushing the shopping cart with that retarded wheel. You ever hear that dude? Here he comes. Oh, my God. What an embarrassment. Here he comes again. You know? I had it bad. I had it worse than anybody. You know why? Because I had to live it. Just like everyone else, man. But I remember taking my socks off in the sober house where the man in like a band, they came off like band-aids. A toenail came off. He was like, can you put your shoes back on? You know, it wasn't shaving. I was sleeping in front of the stove like everyone else down in the hood does, you know. And my life was completely unmanageable. I thought it was because of my drinking. It had to do with me trying to manage it. Nothing to do with my drinking. That's all outside stuff. And he explained it very simply to me. He opened the book up and he used it as backup. He talked to me with language of the heart. Told me what he did. I told him what I did. And it moved on. So, but like I said, a little bit about myself. Born and raised South Philly. Older sister dies. Younger brother. And I'm a little kid. You know, I had 12 years sober. Then I turned 13. You know what I mean? And if you're impressed by that, I guess, you know, I got a lot of years sober. Blah, blah, blah. You know? You ever hear when someone says, I've been sober this long? I. Anyway, no God in the equation, man. It's miraculous that I'm sober right now today. I don't ever want to play down a miraculous event into like an everyday occurrence. Truly grateful, man, for AA because I never felt close to God. And truly grateful for God for putting people around me in AA. Worked hand in hand for me. Born and raised in South Philly, stone cold Christian, whatever you want to call them, Catholic guys. I was one of them altar boys. And all I wanted to do was like walk with the cross, you know, out front in the center. And it was fantastic until I ran into this weirdo priest, Father Gallagher. He used to say, my son, and then hug me and then bear hug me. You know what I mean? Try to fondle me. Little 8-year-old boy getting fondled by this priest. And so resentment starts to build. And to this day, I could get resentful. I hear about dudes like Sandusky and these priests to this day. Thank God I know I'm only refueling a moment. I know what a resentment is. I flash back right to 1974, and I refuel a moment. My first instinct is aggressiveness. I'm finally familiar with the top of page 67, though we deny like their symptoms and the way they disturb. I could quote that page after page after page. I've yet to read that book myself in its entirety. I've been having dudes read it to me since I've had 3 weeks sober. Here we are 3 years later, and it's been read to me a billion times. After every resentment, we go over the resentment prayer. After every fear, we say the fear prayer. I don't know what to tell you. I'm here to lay a spiritual kit of tools at your feet. What you do with them is up to you. That's right, right out of page 25 of the big book, if you'd like to check it out. As for sobriety, we think a man is unthinking when he says sobriety is enough. That's on page 82. Anything I ever want to say from up here and with dudes in my truck, my home group. I swear to God, it sounds so egotistical. It's in the truck with the new guy. It's in the Dunkin' Donuts for 2 hours straight. It's not in the meeting for me anymore. Just not. I always thought I had to come here to get. I found when I come here to give, I receive. And that's in every single spiritual book I've read since then. So, 14 years old, 13 years old, we're drinking vodka, you know, quarts of beer were popular. And what do you call yourself, John Daniels? Right? Well, if you knew him as good as I did, you'd call him John. Yeah, because I was a drinker. Vicious alcoholic, right? Had it worse than anybody. At least so I thought. But, yeah, we used to drink all that fancy stuff, and it was magical, that stuff. You know what I mean? It worked. It did phenomenal things for me. It brought me out of the cold. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, it loosened me up. Alcohol works. There's only two cures for alcoholism. One of them is more alcohol. And I didn't know until 2010. The other one was to try to grow spiritually. Not what I was trying to hear in 2010. I just didn't want to feel the way I was feeling. And I got tricked into this altruistic and spirituality tip they're talking about. So, 14 years old, I drink a beer, and it's fun. It's fine. It's working. It's doing what it's supposed to. It's giving me courage. I can talk to girls. I play ball. I think I'm good in sports. And all of a sudden, like that summer, I remember, things got out of hand quickly for me. Ninth grade came around, and I went to school 70 days. I don't know why. I went from Catholic school 8 years to public school in ninth grade, wearing sneakers. I missed 110 days out of 180. My yearbook said, when will Robert Knopfler end his Christmas vacation? That was my passage in my yearbook, I remember. What a disgrace. My mom used to say, I gave you $2 a day, and you're hooking school like that. And I never went back. Had to go to summer school like that. They passed me. They said, don't ever come back, and you can go to 10th grade, and I never went back. And that's what it was like for me. I just wanted to drink. And I ran into dudes that were like me, that wanted to do the same things I did. See, I drank because it changed my perception. I liked the effects produced by alcohol. I didn't drink because of that weirdo priest. I didn't drink because my mom, had dudes running in and out and all that stuff, and my dad left when I was younger, and it wasn't nothing to do with that. I drank because I liked the effects produced by alcohol. It did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. I found something better now. It just took a long time to get to it, and I finally did. I'm truly grateful. So here we are, a little kid in the neighborhood, South Philly, and it just progressed. It just went from fun in the beginning, like everything else, and it progressed to necessity. I started drinking because I had to, and I couldn't stop. And I didn't know. I never knew my problem, man. I never knew what it was about me. And it explains, they're real simple in the doctor's opinion, the phenomenon of craving kicks in. No one ever said that to me at a regular meeting, you know, in South Philly, meetings I would go to, you know, wherever. I never heard this stuff until I was in a sober house. My sponsor, this dude, in another sober house, I had to take the bus and the L to get to my sponsor's house after that, and I was willing to do that. And to this day, but I get around dudes who are like, oh, I carried a message not to drunk. Like, all of a sudden, you can't go pick a dude up, you know? It just sickens me when I see some of these guys. But that's me judging. What can I say? I'm just some dude, too. So, yeah, he explained to me the doctor's opinion. We opened it up real nice and easy that once I start, I can't stop. Once I am stopped, I don't know when I'm going to start again. Like I said, I've done a year, 2 years in the cell, and 19 straight months in rehab, and something inside of me tells me to go get one. Why is that? I don't know why, and I could care less why. It's because I'm powerless. That's what it is. He said, you're powerless over alcohol. You need to admit to your innermost self, not go get a white chip and get honest with the group. You need to get honest with yourself. You are alcoholic, man. You are different than some of these people. You get around some of these dudes, man, they talk about I got work tomorrow. Not you. I don't. I take it, right? Yeah, he can relate. There you go. She's like in the book. I showed up for work on Tuesday. They don't even mention Monday in the book. You ever see that story in the book? Don't even talk about Monday. He showed up on Tuesday. So, I've heard the book so many times. Man, I'm here to tell you it's just a book. You're not going to find God or spirituality in it, only with what you do with your day. You might want to get familiar with page 86, they told me, and then you can gauge how much you think you're growing. All of a sudden, I'm a spiritual giant. You know, I get on this mountaintop and stuff like that, and I got around dudes that checked me early because I was one of those dudes, like I said, 3 weeks sober, sponsoring guys, 3 months sober, telling dudes with 10 and 20 years they're doing it wrong. You know what I mean? Because the chapter says a solution. You know what I mean? So I got the solution, and you're doing it wrong. What nerve, man. I've recently read the only dude that's lost is the guy on the mountain running around telling everybody else your path is wrong. You know what I mean? Who am I to say? But that's how it goes. Ego kicks in, and ego comes out. I don't know what it is about me. You know, I get around dudes that know the book better than me. I feel less than. I get on a bench press. Sometimes I feel a little better than. You know what I mean? And Deepak Chopra says it best. The only thing in life I need to accept is you as my equal. If I could just continue that mentality, I'll never struggle. So, I meet this dude, Tony Mush. We go over steps 1, 2, and 3. He explains to me, you're powerless over alcohol. You can't drink, yet you can't not drink. And your life's unmanageable. He goes to page 52. You pray to misery and depression, you know, fear, can't look the world in the eye, a feeling of uselessness. Yeah, that's me, man, that's me. Your life's unmanageable, he says. And I said, yeah, because it is, because I end up on Somerset, because I drink too much. He says, that's not why your life's unmanageable. It's because you try to manage it. You have no concept of a higher power. The one you do have has failed you. And I had to agree. You know, they told me in Catholic school, they told me, see that dude on the cross, that's God's only son. Look what he did to him. Imagine what he's going to do to you, he told me. You know, you're in trouble, man. And that's what I was taught, a fearful God. And that's the genius of Bill W. This is the only program that's spiritual, they say, based on spirituality, that's straight out of one book, the Bible, yet it's not a religious program, you know, but everything is straight out of the Bible. I think they were going to call themselves the James Group, and from the book of James, and all those teachings are the same. I'm not here to tell anyone who they should believe in or what they should believe in. I'm just here to tell you there's a need for a higher power. I'm no longer trying to understand God. I'm trying to stand under Him. I know how to talk to him first thing in the morning. And when I don't, though, believe me, I knock on my steps on the door like a maniac, like, let's go. But when I do, I notice I'm a little softer. I tap, hey, buddy, you know what I mean? It's just it's something I've been aware of the past few years. So, yeah, we get into step two, and like I said, he talks about you came to believe the power of greater stuff can restore you to sanity. Dude, I just don't want to feel the way I feel. And he said, would you at least be willing to believe something's changed in me? Because I've seen this dude around for years. I thought he had 5 years sober. I found out he only has 2 more months sober than I. But I knew he'd always be up at meetings. Yeah, this book can help you and all that stuff. I've been hearing him say that for years and years and years. So I called him. I knew he was familiar with that information. I wasn't. And it's just information. I don't care what anyone says. I know dudes that could quote them pages. One dude just hung himself. I know dudes that could quote them pages that are stuck in a bar. I know dudes that could quote them pages and are stuck on Somerset. And it's just a book. It's brain knowledge. You need to get it to heart knowledge. That's what they told me. Father Vincent Youngberger in a book called Fragmentation to Wholeness. It's the longest journey you have to take. For instance, I knew cigarettes were killing me. I smoked them for 25 years. I knew they were killing me. It says it right on the pack. Yet I don't feel it in my heart yet. Till one day I did. And I was able to stop that after drinking. I remember being at Holy Family College one time, and I get my hand up 2 months over, and I say to him, yo, I'm thinking of quitting smoking, man. I think we were in, like, Bill's story. Yeah, we got something that can solve all your problems, it says. And one someone says, you might not want it because alcoholics tend to overwhelm themselves. And I said, I dig what you got to say in your opinion, my man, but I'm going to try to follow this book because there's clear-cut directions. And it says it can solve all of my problems. And it did. That solves all of my problems, and it does to this day. That's why I disregard 95% of what I hear in these rooms. That's why they say, like, AA's got a 5% success rate. So I just disregard a lot of it. If it's not straight out of the book, if you can't tell me where you've got that information, if you said your sponsor says it, then fantastic, man. He's just some dude, too. All right, someone was talking about Sandy B. I don't know who these dudes are. I know who the new dude is. Speaker tapes, I've never listened to one. I know I've listened to Four Steps and Fifth Steps. I wouldn't come to a one-hour speaker meeting. I'll tell you what, I don't even like how Bill sees it. I'm going to listen to how some dude sees it for an hour? Can you imagine? My gosh, that's long. So, Bill sees it. It's cool. He's another one. Talks about on page 3, no infidelity. You read his 4-step, he's got a mistress. They're all full of it, I think, man. You know what I mean? I like Dr. Bob. I'm a Dr. Bob. I'm an Evie Thatcher fan, really. He's the man behind the man, you know? Evie Thatcher. Good thing, though, Bill W. didn't call his sponsor when he was thinking of drinking, like they tell you. You know, they give you that white chip. Everyone thinks, well, a lot of meetings I go to, they say, here's a chip for you. Call somebody if you feel like drinking. That is not where that came from. That is made up in these rooms. That is from Sister Ignatia. She's with Dr. Bob. They've helped over 5,000 people. He didn't charge them. It says she gave them a coin that said, if you think of drinking, pray. First things first, seek the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Then maybe call someone. Like I said, I ain't called my sponsor in over 3 years, man. I felt no need to call him, but what I do have is a fellowship around me. How did that happen? I placed myself in the center of AA. Where is that at? In sponsorship, they told me. A fellowship grew up around me. I have a network of friends all of a sudden that I bounce things off of. So, can you believe power greater than myself can restore me to sanity? I wasn't feeling it. And good thing my sponsor didn't try to push his beliefs on me. And I don't try to push mine on me. That's when I get in trouble, when I have a belief that this is right and when I have concepts that this is the way it's supposed to be. I've sat with numerous dudes who are Muslim and stuff like that. No type of religious background that's similar. All I know is I'm seeking something. You should be seeking something. Let's seek it together. Don't seek the sponsor. Seek what he's seeking, they told me. I heard some dudes say, get a sponsor and start working your way away from him. Get God reliant, you know what I mean? Get away from that dude. After a while, I mean, I can't wait. I try to push dudes away from me quickly. You know, I love when they do a third-step decision and turn your will and life over to care of God. You understand, what are you calling me for? I start telling them. I'm only going to tell you to go to seek him. I don't know what to tell you. This one dude, I was in a sober house. I got the top bunk. I'm 41 years old. This dude below me, he's like, Rob, I'm thinking of leaving my wife. Been married 17 years. I said, leave her. Let me tell you. He said, well, I might want to stay together for the kid. Well, then stay together, I said. What the? I got the top bunk in a sober house. Do you care what I think? You know what I mean? All of a sudden, like, people, like, equate that, too. Like, oh, he hasn't had a drink in 10 years, 20 years. His opinion's probably worth something. No, it's not. It's his opinion. We all have our own perception. We all have our own reality. And there's 7 billion of us out here. None of us see it the same way. You want to seek out some dude and see what he says. I base my sobriety now. I no longer base it on how many meetings I make, how many dudes I'm trying to help, or the steps I take. But I do base it on the actions that I'm continuously taking, steps 10, 11, and 12. They told me all my life, Just stay on the first three steps, you'll be all right like that. It's the last three steps that someone finally said you got to get familiar with. The only reason why I got familiar with them was, besides going to see my sponsor, was I was in a sober house, and do you want to go to a men's meeting? Oh, God. I said, a men's meeting? He said, Robert, you want to go to a men's meeting or this all-woman's book study where they're finally allowing men to go? I was like, what do you think? Why don't you want to come to this men's meeting? I said, because there tend to be too many men there. You know what I mean? Too much testosterone for me. I don't know about anyone else. You know, I've done time, like I said, man. I got to live with them and all that stuff. I'd rather check out this woman's book study. So, of course, I got to get familiar with this information, because, of course, I got to impress somebody. And thank God I did. I'm very well versed with the book. Like I said, it's just a book, though, man. You need to be able to implement it in your daily life. You're supposed to be practicing principles. You have to figure out what the principles are behind the steps. You know, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, sure, patience, tolerance, love, things like that. You know, there's principles behind them. I was talking to a dude earlier up here, and he took the steps. Yeah, we read it at every meeting, how it works. Here are the steps we took, but now I want to be a step debater. I want to be a step contemplator, you know what I mean? Never a step taker. I always thought you were so tough taking stuff out there. They told me, well, why don't you take a step? And I did, man. And like I said, I've been through the process quickly. 3 weeks, done with my sponsor. The third step came. We did steps 1, 2, and 3 in about 20 minutes. It's just some information he shared with me. He said, Rob, the first 60 pages consist of the first two steps. You'll probably drink by the time we read 60 pages. So I'm not here to read 60 pages with you. He says, I'm going to just try to use it, and we'll hit back on it. And that's what I do with guys, too. I have yet to read that book in its entirety. And third step decision. Made a decision to turn my will and my life over to care of God as you understand Him. I don't even understand this God, man. I'm not supposed to. I found out. But he said, a little bit you know about yourself, try to give that up to this God that you might know about. So I did. He said, turn your will and your life. Plain and simple, your thoughts and your actions. Let's not complicate things. He said, now would you like to go play pinochle? I went and played pinochle. I won him some money. He said, would you like to come back tomorrow? So that was my sponsor. I had to buy him cigarettes. You know what I mean? He had no job. And he loved how I played pinochle with him. I won him money. So real quick, 1, 2, and 3. The second day, man, he hands me a four-step guide. The only thing he does different than I do with guys, because I'm more out of the book, page 13, Abby Thatcher tells Bill W., while he's drunk, they make a list of people he had harmed and stuff like that. People ask, why don't you start writing a four-step? Write it drunk, like Bill W. did. See what happens. I've had dudes burn my seats in my truck. I've had dudes nod out in my apartment. And I'm writing the four steps for them. I don't care. And I don't make conditions on dudes. I'm going to help you as long as you promise to help someone else. I'm not in it for that no more, like I was in the beginning. You know, I'll help you as long as you help other guys. I don't even care if you help others or not, man. I'm here to lay a spiritual kit of tools at your feet. What you do with it is up to you. I'm here to help others because I love God and God loves me. And I believe He wants me to be kind and loving toward all. Love and tolerance of others is our code. It's on page 82. If you want to check 80, I believe it's 82, 10 step front in the 10 step. 84, now that I can think about it. But like I said, it's just a book, man. I've heard it so many times. Only because I just did it the other night with some dude. We cease fighting anything or anyone, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I've heard it so many times. It means nothing, man, if you can't implement it. So here we are. We write a four-step, and I write down. He tells me to write down a list of resentments, man. Who are you angry at? I got that nut-ass priest first. He stops on the list. And, you know, I've got other people, blacks, what can I say? A lot of time in jail and stuff like that. They're up there. I got hatred for others. I feel resentment towards my family. Sickening. If you get familiar with Eastern philosophies, that's a far-fetched concept, resentment towards your family. But we're Westerners. It seems to happen. It's very common. Other books I'm reading, Thich Nhat Hanh, Deepak Chopra, guys like that, they're talking about that. That's unheard of on that side of the world. But so I got resentments towards these people. He tells me to write them down. I write down a list of fears I got. I write them down. And after each one, though, he did what I do. After each resentment, we talk about him. I try to see it from their angle. He explains to me my problems in the fourth comma. I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, inconsiderate, fearful. And those are my character defects you might want to ask God to remove. He tells me, don't try working on anything. You know what I mean? Like I hear dudes say, I'm working on that. Good luck, man. This is a process of subtraction. They told me steps 4 through 9 will get you unblocked from God. Steps 10, 11, and 12 will keep you unblocked. Page 63 talks about new power flowing in. I need to feel it. I can feel it now, man. I start getting this feeling going on inside of me, man. I feel like I'm empowered, man. I am powerless over alcohol, yet the paradox is the power is within me. I can feel it inside me. You can agree. I concur. You ever hear people at meetings? It means they concur, right? You ever heard them? Oh, I love it, man. Good stuff. So, four-step resentments, and there we read the resentment prayer. Not just that, though. My sponsor was the kind of guy to hit on warnings. For his first one, on the bottom of page 14, there's six of them in that big book. He wasn't big on the promises. He wanted to warn me. He says, Rob, man, for if the alcoholic fails to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he's not going to survive the trials and low spots ahead. And if he doesn't work, he's going to drink. That's page 14, top of 15. That's the first warning he shows me. The second warning he shows me is on page 70, about a fifth step. First reason first, if you skip this vital step, you'll probably drink. That's what he tells me, right out of the book. We get to page 72 with sex conduct. Before that, it says that if sex is more the troublesome, we throw ourselves harder into helping others. It was troublesome for me. I was in a sober house, and I wasn't having any. So that was troublesome, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I should be having sex, I figure, but... So I was throwing myself quickly into helping others. I didn't wait to 12 steps to start trying to help others. And that's what my sponsor told me. And then after that, it said with the sex conduct, if your sex conduct continues to harm others and you're not sorry, you'll probably drink. Those are simple warnings. That was two of them, three of them right there he hit me with. Then the next three are in the ninth step. And check them out, man, you know. He hit on the warnings. So we write a fifth step, like I said, after resentments, we go to the top of page 67, though we do not like their symptoms and the way they disturbed us, they, like ourselves, are sick too. He told me, that's before the prayer. Everyone wants to say the prayer, but you need to start looking at people as sick, like you. Not that you're better than. Two pages later, Bill's already saying, remember, they're sick people. He already forgets about like ourselves, but you know what I mean? They, like ourselves, I know I'm sick. I know I'm blocked from God, but I'm willing, finally, to apply action to change. And the only action I know of in AA is a prayer life. Nine of these steps have to do with me and God. Three of them have to do with me and others. Steps 5, 9, and 12. Yet I can't find a better way to get closer to them. It's just something about it. I like going picking up new guys. It's the highlight of my day, as corny as that sounds. I used to hear it in that book, too. It's the truth. It became my destiny, my purpose. You know, the book talks about, you know, our primary purpose is to stay sober and help all alcoholics keep blah, 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 right? But it also says your real purpose is on page 77, to fit yourself of maximum service to God and to help your fellows about you. So if you could do that, you won't even have to worry about your primary purpose. He told me to focus on my real purpose. Don't be a villainite, you know what I mean? Be a godinite, man. He said, don't. This is how he told me to pray. He said, pray selfishly and wrap it up with others at the end. God and others. I always was praying for days sober, just like everyone else. And I imagine we'd all been sober, but I guess God doesn't answer our prayers. He told me, stop treating him like a genie, you know? Shazam, you're sober, you know? He told me to put legs on my prayers. You know what I mean? I don't pray for the addict who's sick and suffering anymore. When they stand up and do that, I don't do that. I pray for the strength and willingness to go help the alcoholic who's still sick and suffering. And that's what I get. I receive. When I ask, I receive. I have to be aware of what I'm asking for. I constantly need to ask for strength and willingness, inspiration, direction, you know, things like that. So, yeah, we get to the fear prayer. We get to the fear that I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of being in a relationship. I'm afraid of being single. Like, asinine stuff if you think about it. I'm afraid of the future. I'm afraid of the present. I'm afraid of not working. I'm afraid of having a job. You know, it just doesn't make sense. I'm like, all these idiotic fears. I found that it stands for false evidence appearing real. They're all just simple fears in my head. None of them have even come true. Mark Twain said it best when he, on his deathbed, they said, Mark, how you feeling? He says, great, man. I faced all my fears. And 90% never even happened. I don't know why. I just play out these scenarios in my head. Walking up to here. You know what I mean? Dude sizing me up. You know what I mean? Things like that. I'm thinking, I'm going to sound stupid. Hopefully I won't, you know, sound foolish. And I just kill myself and torture myself. Nothing to do with a drink. But that stuff leads to a drink for me. I know resentment is the number one offender. But when I get feared up, I need something to make me feel better. I don't do well. Feeling uncomfortable. The book calls it restless, irritable, discontent. It's uncomfortable, man. I just don't do well. I don't even do well sitting in these seats. That's kind of what I base my sobriety on now, how soft the seats are, you know? To sit somewhere for so straight an hour, no break, on a hard bench, man, God bless you. So, yeah, he tells me about the fear prayer. It's on page 68 if you're interested. How do I know that? Because sex conduct's on 69. I'm a pimp. Right? So, right. What, Bill, is that divinely inspired, that part? I don't know. They say the book's divinely inspired. He puts sex down, they'll go 69. But it's real easy to remember, and I knew how to find stuff quickly in that book. Chapter 3, just put a zero on it. That's page 30. Things like that. That simple question, chapter 4, page 44. When you start drinking, you can't stop. When you are stopped, you don't know when you're going to start again, and you're probably alcoholic. My sponsor was able to point things out in that book that were easy to get to. Steps 6 and 7 are on page 76. Real easy. Get familiar with the information, he told me. And I did. Only because I've had dudes read it to me. I hosted a book study for 7 months in my apartment, too, but that was neither here nor there. The real magic happened when I started hearing fist steps. And, so fear is that. Page 68 says, God, please remove my fear of sounding foolish and direct my attention toward how you'd have me be. And then it says, at once we commence to outgrow fear. A lot of guys leave that part out. How can you outgrow fear immediately? Well, the book says you can. And how? Because of your thinking. That's my problem, not coke and rock or dope or bags of licking them. I heard someone saying earlier, that's not my problem. My problem is my thinking. It's not drinking. It's my thinking. At once you commence to outgrow fear. Because here's a fear, how these people think I'm going to be, or direct my attention toward how you'd want me to be, God. Now I'm thinking about how God wants me to be. I think he wanted me to stand here tall, stay soft-spoken, non-threatening, you know what I mean, like that, make eye contact. That's how I think God wants me to be. And then again, the fear just falls to the side. So it is true, and I believe that you can commence to outgrow fear immediately. We get to sex contact. I said, yeah, it was troublesome. I wasn't having any, so I was looking to help others. And harms to others. We put this list together in the eighth step. I got a nice little list written down. We get to 6 and 7, like I said, on page 76. It's real small in the book. I think maybe two paragraphs to the whole thing. The main thing is the seven-step prayer and that whole, the gist of all that. But why would that be so small? He's got 60 pages, steps 1 and 2, and 6 and 7, he's only got a couple sentences. You know what I mean? Bang, you're done steps 6 and 7. He said the whole book is about what's blocking you from God. Everything before 6 and 7 tells you what your problem is, and everything after 6 and 7 is going to tell you what your problem is going to continue to be. That you stay blocked from God. I thought it was drinking. That's not what this book says. You are blocked from God. It says when the spiritual malady is overcome, you strain out mentally and physically. Like I said, I've done years in prison. I do 1,000 push-ups in an hour. I come out strong. I got this. You know? I'm strong as hell on the outside. Weak as can be on the inside. Why is that, you know? Never felt no power within, and I finally do. I walk a free man. My archway is firmly in place, the two cornerstones and the keystone. So that's 1, 2, and 3. I know what my problem is, step 1, and I know what the solution is, step 2. And I walk a free man. I'm no longer tormented by my past, and I'm no longer feared up about the future. I put the news on my roof or to call for rain. I know what to do. I don't sit in that, oh my God, I'm not going to make any money today. I just ask God to direct my attention. Next thing you know, he tells me, call one of them sober house dudes. Why don't you get over there? You know what I mean? See who could help and stuff like that. And I get out of myself. 6 and 7 is very small in the book. And like I said, he said, don't work on anything. He said, stop trying to be a good dude. Stop trying to be honest. He said, stop. Just stop doing what you're doing. If you could be aware of your lying, if you could be aware of your character defects, when they crop up and stuff like that in the 10th step, he said, ask God to remove them. Don't try working on adding qualities to you. This is the process of subtraction. So we put this 8-step list together, and it's a nice one, you know, 20, 25, whatever. And I want to do the softest, easiest ones first. My dead mom, my dead sister. And I do. I write my mom a letter because she was cremated. My sister, I go to the grave. Then I approach my dad and my stepmom. My dad, I sit down. He was an enabler, thank God. I hear a lot of people against enablers. I might have killed somebody. He used to come right to Somerset, bring me $40 in a care package. Peanut butter and jellies. He did. It was funny. Peanut butter and jellies, milk, and cereal. And pull away 2 blocks later, and his wife used to tell me, cry his eyes out, I'm going to bury my son next to my daughter. Man, I don't care, though. Just come back tomorrow. Right? I just can't help myself. Why is it? You're so selfish and self-centered. Page 62. That's the root of your troubles. If you're like me, you're self-centered. Man, I wake up thinking of me. I just do. I'm the kind of guy with a photo album. I'm like, oh, there I go. Oh, there's me again. Look. My wife's like, yo, look at Ryan. I'm like, nah, look at me. I got a wife beater on. You know? 60. I'm aware of it, finally. I'm finally aware of it. And I'm willing to apply action to change. The action is in a prayer life. I ask God to remove it from me. Sometimes I don't. Just some do, too, you know? But that's the key. Awareness is the key, but it must be followed by with willingness and action to change. I was aware of staying on Somerset was wrong. I was very aware of what I was doing was wrong. I just wasn't willing to apply action to change. So yeah, we put this list together. My dad's very receptive, I guess you would say, and my stepmom, I ain't trying to hear this, you again and all that, so it's cool. I didn't force my will on her, I made an amends to my father. I hear people talking about making a living amends, you know? I don't even know what that means, just being the son that I was supposed to always be. So now we get these other dudes. I heard this one dude, $300, I steal 6 rolls of rubber off his porch. I'm supposed to do a roof job. And it's taking too long. They're not letting me do the roof, so I just take the rubber. I'm in South Philly. I put it in a shopping cart, and I push it down the street, and lo and behold, he come and toured me. What timing, right? I got 6 rolls of rubber, and it's $300 worth of rubber, blah, blah. He jumps out. Thank God it was a one-way street, because traffic started beeping. Things got crazy real quick. We started hitting each other, and I got away with the shopping cart full of rubber, and I sold it and got well, you know? Man, that's gone. You know what I mean? That's how that stuff works. You put it right in you, and it's like, the effect. I like the effect produced by alcohol. It changes my perception. All of a sudden, there's no problems no more. But there was. So, mind you now, I've wrote a 4-step, did a 5th step. I got like a week sober. I think I had 10 days sober on the 8th step. I'm making an amends to people with 10 days sober. And I go to South Philly to tell this dude who's all tattooed up, real intimidating looking. And I says to him, I knock on the door. There's pit bulls barking. I'm all scared. My sponsor's like, yeah, go make an amends. Make a payment plan with this dude. He left out, I should pray first, maybe, you know what I mean, and really think about it. I'm not going to do so. He's like, what the F are you doing on my porch? If you don't get off of my porch, I'm going to let these dogs go. I'm like, Jim, I just wanted to give you $30 out of the $300. He's like, get the F out. And I leave. I come back. I say to my sponsor, man, that didn't go over too well. He says, well, you should pray for him. And I says, I will, man. I pray he goes to heaven immediately. No, I'm saying, I got 10 days sober. I don't give. That's what I think about that dude. My sponsor said, you might want to learn how to tweak your prayers a little bit, he says, like that. So I did. This was the process for me. Like I said, I was on the cross. They told me, Rob, come on down. We could use the wood for a bridge. You're like on a spiritual mountaintop all of a sudden. And I had dudes that checked me properly in the beginning, man. And to this day, I got a lot of nice guys around me. And I married a woman in AA who is my ace in the hole. She's like the Ann Smith of AA. I'm like Dr. Bob, they say. She's the woman behind the scenes. She's very, very well-versed, and she has a lot of heart knowledge. And I met her when I had 4 months sober. I was going to this book study because I heard my ex was there, and I was there in stalker mode, you know? You know that mode? I'm going to show her. I've been doing push-ups. 4 months sober, and I'm in the back with all the cool guys, and I see her up front. You know, all I see is her hair. I think it looks shiny. And I'm down with that. It looks nice, clean, you know? And I asked her for her phone number outside the meeting, and she says to me, I says, you know, like every smooth dude, hey, what's up? I see you around. Who are you here with? I'm here with Bill. Who's that, your boyfriend? No, that's this 81-year-old man. I gave a ride to the meeting. I was like, wow, I don't have a girlfriend. Why don't you give me your number? No, thanks, she said, and goes right into the meeting. I was like, yeah, don't you know who I am or who I think I am? Like, said no to me, right? 2 days later go by. She sees me at another meeting on a Friday night. She comes up to me and says, Rob, you called me off guard, scared to death, you know what I mean? If people were around, I've been thinking about it. And more importantly, I've been praying to God and getting quiet. And I think he's told me that I'm ready to start dating again. What kind of concept is this, I says. No woman has ever talked to me like that. Said they're talking to God first. And I says, yeah, I've been talking to God too. He wants me to date. I says, like that to her. So we started the date, you know. And next thing you know, 7 months sober, I move in with her. And that was on 10-10-10, 10-11-10. We host a book study for 7 months. And here we are 3 years later. I got married Valentine's Day this year. You know, this is not what I planned. And I just tried to stop doing, you know, like every other dude and women, I imagine. You know, we just want what we want. And it just grew into something. I just went with the flow, man. I'm just going with it, you know. I just tried to stop running things, you know what I mean? I like the teaser, you know. My life is unmanageable, so I let Rob manage it. You know, I'm one of those dudes. I do well managing others' lives. Like, I'm one of them dudes still to this day with over 3 years without a drink, if that means anything. But that's familiar with this process, and I know the tools, the spiritual kit of tools, the prayer life, that I come home after 95-degree heat and there's dishes in the sink, and I say, what's up with these dishes? She says, you want the dishes done? Do them. What? I didn't know you could. Me? And that's how I don't get resentful. Every day I've been coming home, there's always one coffee cup. It's hers from the morning. I just come home and wash it. And I don't get resentful. I no longer place expectations on others. They're future resentments. She said to me, my wife, why would you continue to place yourself in a position to be hurt? And that's what I do, like a knucklehead. Just set myself up to feel bad. And then I need something to feel better. It's in a prayer life now for me. It's no longer running to the bar. My sponsor, we do a 9-step stuff. Now we get to steps 10. He said, everything you've learned in 4 through 9, now just go do the rest of your life. That's it. So when people tell me I've been through my steps, that's a red flag for me. I'm familiar with 10, 11, and 12 out of the big book. It says continue for a lifetime. Trying to grow in effectiveness and understanding. You know, you won't read that on the wall. How are you trying to be effective in doing God's work? I found out when I make amends to others, something seems to happen. I get free, they get free. What are you trying to understand? What my problem is? Me. I'm alcoholic and my life's unmanageable. What are you trying to understand? That when I talk to another dude and let him know things that I'm not proud of, you know, things seem to happen. And he talks about, well, it says in the 10th step to continue to watch out for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Four simple things to look out for, he said, in the book. When they crop up, what are you going to do? I'm going to go to God and ask him to remove it once. Sometimes it doesn't always work as quick as I would like. So then it says to talk to someone about it. I believe God puts people in my path for a reason. The third one is to make it amends if I've harmed someone. But the gist of it, the best one I think, is to resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I could help. Doesn't say go 12-step anyone or anything like that. Just change your thinking to someone you could help. I could be working. Dudes are slow. I'm like, come on, man. I'm feeling some type of way. And speaking of feeling some type of way, that's what he said. Why don't you stop having a way and you won't struggle, you know? That's that simple. Just stop having a way, man. Be a little more, we know you're tough. Just be a little more submissive one once in a while, you know? And so I have been. I've been just trying to go with the flow. But resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I could help. I'm working and working and working, and then all of a sudden I'm feeling some type of way, and then I say to myself, I wonder how my boy Bob's doing. I wonder how his fifth step's coming along. We're going to get together and finish that fifth step. I just change my thinking, because it's not my drinking that's the problem. It's my thinking, which leads to the drinking. So we get to step... how about them promises? Bottom of page 84. Heard of a million times. You know, everyone always familiar with the 9-step promises, and I said, we think not, like everyone else, you know? I didn't even know I was saying we think not to. You know, you'll be amazed before you're halfway through. I always thought it meant the 6th step. I didn't know halfway through this phase of your development. The phase of the development is the 9th step. You got 20 amends. By the time you get to 10, you might be amazed. You know? It says sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Why would that be? I guess it depends on the footwork you put into it. I banged out 3 amends quickly. Then it was a little slower like that. I got right into helping others. My sponsor said, don't let step 12 get in the way of you trying to complete 9. I still haven't completed it. There's people I'm sure I'll run into that aren't nearby, but when I do, and I'm willing to make an amends to them. But don't let 12 get in the way of you trying to complete 9, he said. So as 10-step promises, we cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. It mentions alcohol 3rd in a book called Alcoholics Anonymous. If that doesn't tell you that it's not your problem, I don't know who could. It says we cease fighting anything or anyone. I just seem to fight things, and I seem to fight people. My opinion bashes against theirs. It collides. I struggle with staying open-minded enough to allow this man to see things the way he wants to, and I want to force my opinion on people and tell him you're wrong and I'm right. And that's where I struggle. I struggle when I get on I-95. Track, right? I do, yeah, and I'm aware of it. And I just told my buddy, I pulled over the other day, you know, dude was getting mouthy. 9 times out of 10, I usually go to God. Happened to be a girl in the passenger seat. I know what the fact is, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, man. My ego got in the way. He tried chomping me in front of a total stranger. And I said, I will pull over. Let's see what you'll do, you know? And he didn't pull over, thank God, because who knows, something bad would have happened. I'd have had to tell him to come in the light, you know, because I don't see too good at dark like this. Last time I told the dude, why don't you come under the light? You know what I mean? See how tough you are. But that's my dilemma. Ego. I get, my chest goes out. All of a sudden, I start driving by my steering wheel like that, and I want to expand, and I want to force my will. And that's why I struggle. That's why the whole ride home afterward was horrible. Something inside of me felt terribly wrong, and I asked God for forgiveness in the 11th step, like I said. The 10th step talks about we cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, but now sanity's returned. Supposed to be placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected, right? Supposed to be like Switzerland. You ever see them? They're not for the U.S. They're not against the U.S. I'm not for big book studies, and I'm not against big book studies. I go to a lot of just don't drink meetings, and I'm not for it or against it. I need it all. See, the problem what I noticed with AA is the unity part of the triangle with the circle. You got big book guys over here, got to do the steps quickly and all that. And then you got guys right here, just don't drink, man. Take your time like that. I don't know what to tell you, man. I can show you the information in the book that will work for me. But whatever you want to do, I'm willing to do it with you. I need it all, so it sharpens my approach. I know who to approach quickly. I have a feeling. I feel them out. You just don't want to drink, make a meeting, get a slice of pizza. We could do that, too. I try to offer friendship and fellowship. Like the book talks about walking shoulder to shoulder. You know, try to show this dude. I don't take on a bunch of dudes at once, one at a time. That's all I want. You want my help? I'll give you my friend's number. He's looking to help someone. I'm working with someone right now. That's how I do it. This is my vocation, not an occupation. You know what I'm saying? You can't call my phone after 10:30. That's just a fact. Don't. I just shut it off anyway. I just do. I got to get up at 5:30. If you're thinking of drinking, and I know you, I'm only going to tell you, do you know the fear of prayer? Did you say the prayer? You can say the third set prayer all you want. I ain't never talked to him yet with 1,000 wilts, you know. Right? I talk to him just like I talk to everyone else. And you know how I hit my feet in the morning? Like a soldier. I don't get on my knees anymore like that, like they told me to put my shoes under the bed and all that stuff. I hit my feet like a soldier and let God know I'm ready, man. Ready for what you got for me like that. You know, I don't snooze, never. I don't even use an alarm clock anymore, I swear. I use the phone as backup, and like I said, I 9 times out of 10, I shut it. I just pop up ready to go because of my thinking before I go to bed. I'm familiar with the 11th step. It starts at nighttime. What an odd concept. So on page 86. They told me get familiar with page 84 to 86 and 88, and I'm familiar with them. At night when we retire, you know, you ask yourself a few simple questions. Were you selfish, dishonest, resentful, fearful? Yeah. Not so much. You know what I mean? Were you kind and loving toward all? Not today. Struck out on that one, too. Were you thinking mostly of yourself or what you could pack into the stream of life? Not really, you know. But some of them I'm starting to get a couple of good marks, man. And, you know, so I know what to do next. Stay away from morbid reflection, it says. Ask God for forgiveness. And I do. And I ask for give me some corrective measures not to make these same mistakes tomorrow. So my last thought before I go to sleep tonight is thinking of what I got to do to be better tomorrow. And it's been a process. It's gone from being aggressive in the beginning, going like this, to getting like this. It just has. It's been a process. I've been growing. It's just a fact. My life has changed. I was running the streets in Kensington wearing size 10 and a half sneakers. I wear 12s. I got my heels hanging out. You know what I mean? Sliding around, thinking it's cool. I got my shirt tied around my head. I'm like, what's up? You know? What? It's crazy. Like, the abnormal becomes the normal for me quickly. I pray for corrective measures. And when I tell you I kiss my wife goodnight, I fall asleep. I swear to God, man, I fall asleep. It's so beautiful. I love it. I go to bed like a baby, and I wake up like a bear. I do, man. I am truly grateful for what AA has done for me. It has helped me develop a relationship with a higher power. Never felt a closeness to my Creator until I started to get involved with this book and others. I had 3 weeks sober one time at Holy Family College. Couldn't wait to raise my hand. Yeah, I got to work in knowledge of the 12 steps. Yeah. All right. How does that be? First of all, you ain't never even helped no one yet. So how do you even get that? But I said, yeah, I can. And my buddy said to me, Rob, can you help me, man? You look amazing. I can't believe it's you. I remember you 6 months ago. I had 3 weeks sober. He didn't know. He said, Rob, how long have you been sober? I said, long enough to be helpful, man. Would you like some help? I said, yeah, man. If he'd have found out I had 3 weeks, he'd have been like, nah, I don't want your help. You ever heard of people, right? You got to put like a condition on how long sober he is that he can help me. I was willing to give that dude my time. I went across the street. He lived right across the street from all his family. His mother was there thanking me. It was amazing. I opened up the book. I didn't know nothing. All I knew was my sponsor told me on chapter 7, the beginning, nothing grants immunity from a drink like intensive work with another alcoholic. It works when all other activities fail. So if you're willing to try other activities, go ahead. But me, he said, Rob, you might drink. You might want to start helping others. I did it out of fear first. 3 weeks sober, I was afraid to drink. And when I left, I swear, I was so empowered and I was so high. I felt so strong. And I called people. It was like 11 at night. They were like, what are you calling me for? I was like, yo, I just did. I read the doctor's opinion with this dude. It was amazing. You got to feel what I feel. It was indescribably wonderful, like they say. Words cannot explain it. If you haven't experienced it yet, you're selling yourself short in AA. I would say that's 75% of the AA program. Get unblocked. Start giving away what was so freely given to you. Dr. Bob says it best. He does it for various reasons. It's a pleasure to pay back his debt to the dude that did it for him. Helps grants a little reassurance against the slip. And there's a fourth one. I'm not sure off the top of my head. But I did it out of fear. That fear has grown to sympathy, compassion, understanding, and it's coming straight from love now. I'm not afraid to admit it. I can say love, man. You know, I'm not concerned with you dudes think anymore. That fear has been fallen to the wayside, and they told me, Rob, you might want to start practicing this. Teach it, practice it. Thanks for letting me share. Mm-hmm.